Now, the rest of the story. As a struggling young artist, he haunted the streets of Paris, begging handouts from American tourists. Let me run that by again. He haunted the streets of Paris, begging handouts from American tourists. You might have called him a hippie if that term had been invented a decade earlier. Better described within the context of his own era, he was a bohemian. He was a bearded truth seeker in a society mostly false. He was a champion of the unconventional. Above all, he was an artist. He lived in a garret on the left bank. He spent his days painting and panhandling, his nights visiting the local bistros. It was the painting he took most seriously. He truly longed to become one of the greats, to be recognized far and wide, to see his works hanging in the most splendid museums. And yet it was as though the world refused to cooperate with his dream. The panhandling wasn't panning out as usual. Money was running low. And anyway, the horizon was beckoning. He would leave France. He would move to Italy. Oh, he loved the city of Florence, even though it flat broke him. Fortunately, he met a sympathetic and moderately influential art teacher who arranged a gallery showing of the young man's paintings. The exhibition was so successful, at least it put $200 in the fledgling artist's pocket. And it was then that the bearded bohemian made what may have been the best investment of his life. He took that $200 and bought a one-way ticket to New York. And once in New York, he enrolled in the Pratt Institute to study his craft as never before, to learn formally and precisely the artistic techniques and refinements that he had long sought to master. Money was now more of a problem than ever. Begging handouts on the streets would not cover his expenses in New York City. So how could he earn enough cash to keep his artistic dream alive? Friends advised that he become a professional actor. Well, the bearded bohemian protested he'd never acted in his life, not as much as having participated in a school play. Anyway, acting seemed ludicrous to him. But his friends insisted. They told him to go over to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts and get into an acting class and learn whatever he had to learn. After all, his artistic future was at stake. And reluctantly, the young painter agreed. He went to the academy and he enrolled in an acting class. And he hated it. He hated it. In the middle of the class one day, the instructor called on him, asked him to act out a poem of his choice. The artist said he didn't want to. Teacher said he had to. So, the young man rose from his chair, stood there for a long, self-conscious moment. Then suddenly something happened. Not only did he physically choreograph the poem, the only poem he knew by heart, incidentally, The Raven, not only did he dramatize that poem, but he did so vigorously, wildly, virtually ran amok, flipping, twisting, darting here and there, grabbing students out of their chairs, finally dashing out into the hall. It was a feeling of freedom he had never known before. And with that enthusiastic impression of Poe's Raven, a new fire was kindled in the young artist's soul, a new passion that would become his primary artistic expression forever after. You see, the bearded bohemian who once begged handouts from American tourists in France and Italy, the young man who lived only for canvas and colors, who started acting only to support his painting, was Robert Redford. And now you know the rest of the story.